So why did we need to innovate? First, we had escalating morbidity in recent years that had set a record for the state. Also, we had changing resources, which were forcing us to close clinics and reduce our STD staff. And then there were inefficiencies in test results notification. Traditionally, when someone's positive, we try a phone call. If that doesn't work, we do house calls, and so that can end up taking a lot of time and delaying treatment. And for negatives, they just have to come back to the clinic if they want to know their results. So at this point, there's a lot of evidence for mHealth or mobile health. Mobile phone use is very high in the United States among a lot of high-risk groups, including youth, people of color, and low-income people. There are many advantages to using a text messaging program, including that text messages are cheap, that they can reach mobile populations, achieve a broad coverage, and are very quick. And there have been a couple programs thus far that have directly delivered STD test results and shown success. The first one that I know of was in Illinois, and it delivered results for chlamydia and gonorrhea and saw decreases in their time to treatment and also in the staff resources needed. And then Clay County, Florida, then adapted the Illinois project and found similar results. So our long-term goal in Florida is to offer text messaging of STD test results statewide in order to improve the timeliness of STD diagnosis, treatment, and to reduce clinic burden. But in this evaluation, we really focus on timeliness to treatment. This is a texting process flow. So first, someone comes into the clinic for their STD testing, and they're offered the texting option at that time. They sign the consent form in which they put their cell phone number and their carrier, and they're also given an instruction card that tells them what the codes will mean when they receive them. Then the lab results are processed. They're entered into PRISM, which is our surveillance system that we use in Florida. And they receive one of two codes. A code 2, which is on the right side, means they're negative for all the results, and they don't need to come back in, and they don't need a phone. They don't need to call us. On the left is a code 1 and the local health department's phone number to call. It means they're positive and to call us because they may have been appropriately presumptively treated or they may not have been. So once they call in, they find out they need to actually come back in. And if they don't come back in, hopefully they do, then we will issue them to a DIS, and the DIS will work the case just like they would for a non-texter where they try phone calls and then house calls. Texting began in November of 2011, and at first Clay County was the only county that was piloting it and giving us feedback to make modifications. Then, at this point, what we offer is texting of chlamydia and gonorrhea, both positive and negative results, and syphilis negative, not syphilis positive because of extra complications with confirmatory testing and staging of the disease. But we do hope at some point to add add syphilis positive and HIV negative. And then we had no extra funding for this project, so we had to integrate it into the existing protocol within local health departments and use PRISM. These are examples of three instruction cards. The counties come up with their own instruction cards. They just need to stay consistent with what code 1 and code 2 means. And some counties, like in Seminole County, they create a card in Spanish if they have enough of a clinic population that speaks another language. And this was some posters that Duval County created to promote texting in their waiting rooms and raise awareness among their clinic population. And their community advisory board helped them design these. So our results are from the first year of texting, which was February 2012 to January 2013. And in our first year, we had 7% of the 67 Florida counties adopt texting. And those are the five first ones to adopt it. We're going to focus on the first three just because we had a full year of data collection at the point of doing the evaluation. But at this point, currently, we have about 8 counties that are texting, and they represent the majority of STD burden in the state. So we offer texting to everybody that comes in to one of the clinics in those three counties that wanted to get tested for chlamydia and gonorrhea, the texting option. And so that was a total of 10,272 people. And overall, 52% opted in. And looking at opt-in by subgroup, we see that across the board, it's pretty high. The lowest being among males at 45%, and the highest being among positive individuals and females at 58%. In terms of callbacks, we had a mean callback time of 1 day for positives and 6 days for negatives, and positives are the ones that we actually want to have call back, but there's always going to be people who are negative. They're going to want to talk to someone, so that's still an option for them. Overall, 57% of positives called us back and 6% of negatives called us back. There was a pretty significant difference in the time to treatment between the callback status. So those that called back came in about 2 days earlier than those that didn't, and it's pretty striking in some of the counties. Only Seminole didn't have a significant difference. And so I don't know if, you know, someone who called back was already more motivated to come into the clinic, or if in calling back that motivated them to come to the clinic sooner. But it just points to the fact that the callback mechanism is important. We also tracked undeliverable texts and individuals texting us a reply, a question such as, who is this, what is this, because sometimes they forgot they signed up for texting, or they lost their instruction card. And so overall, that was pretty low. We had a little under 4% undeliverable and around 2.3% that texted us a question. So to us, that said that our delivery mechanism was working and the amount of client confusion around the texting process was low. So our primary outcome was reducing treatment delays. Overall, this was significantly different. There's about a 24% difference between non-texters and texters. And this was not consistent across the counties. And we realized that part of this was explained by local procedures for how they notify texters versus non-texters. For example, with Clay and Duval, they decided that once they texted someone, they would wait 2 days to allow them to come in on their own and not use those staff resources to go out finding them. With Seminole, they decided that they would text someone, but then they would also call them that same day. And so they achieved the most dramatic difference, but they also spent the most staff resources. So in considering those options, you may want to weigh, do you spend the staff resources if you have them and get people in a little bit sooner, or do you use less staff resources and maybe wait a little bit for someone to come in? And with Clay, they actually had a higher number of days for someone texting to come in, but that partly was explained the fact they have a low client burden, and so they were able to get to non-texters right away. So there are a lot of lessons learned, and I had to reduce like 8 slides down to 1, but I think it's always important when talking about implementation to get to the, you know, the real meat of it. And so one thing is you've got to get the buy-in of all levels of staff. When you have people at higher levels deciding things for people on the front line, there can be some resentment, and we want the people on the front line enthusiastic about the program and conveying that enthusiasm to the clients when they get them to opt in. There also needs to be staff training because there can be a lot of confusion, and then that can end up messing up the program. We also had to get buy-in from various forms of leadership and departments, including legal and IT, and they had their say as to what the text message content could be. Some delays in terms of counties implementing were outside of our control, such as counties having other priorities, or sometimes there was a budgetary crisis that occurred that delayed things. And using PRISM, our surveillance system, was really great because it kept us accountable. It time date stamped everything. It kept a record of everything. But it had its limitations in that it didn't have a lot of local measures. For example, we couldn't measure decreases in clinic burden through PRISM, but we did hear anecdotal reports that this did decrease with texting. For example, Seminole County tracked this, and they found a 28% decrease in the number of clients coming back as a result of texting. And then using treatment timeframes as the primary outcome can be a little bit difficult, one, because so many people are presumptively treated that, therefore, your end to look at decreases in time to treatment is reduced by a lot. And then because of the differences in the way that the local health departments implemented texting and made decisions around notification of texters and non-texters, you can see that you expect everybody to have a decrease, and not necessarily everybody does because of their local procedures. So there are a lot of limitations, including the ones we all know around convenience sampling. But in terms of implementation, we don't truly know if the person that we intend to get the text actually does, but by coding it, we do protect the person's privacy. Also, there are some people who don't have a cell phone or don't use texting. There are people who have their cell phone and toss it after a few weeks when they use it up. Not all counties in Florida have access to PRISM as its surveillance system. No qualitative assessment was done, and we don't know how much staff effort is really spent on texting as opposed to how much is saved. So overall, we do feel that texting offers clients the convenience and privacy of learning the results via text. Overall, it did decrease the time to treatment. It allowed us to work for innovative solutions with the local health departments, and it also demonstrated the utility of using a surveillance system to improve service delivery, and it allows us to really work at scale instead of having someone manually sending someone a text. Thank you. This is my contact information. I'm actually at Johns Hopkins right now, but still working with the Florida Department of Health, and that's my colleague at the Florida Department of Health. Thank you.